Ladies and gentlemen, the voice heard by hundreds of millions of people every weeknight for years and years. Here's Ed McMahon. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Rhett. Good to talk with you again.
Great to have you on the air. My co-host for the day, of course, is Mr. David Walsh.
Good morning.
Hi, David.
Good morning, Ed.
Great to have you on the air.
It's early morning out there where you are.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, we always start early.
Well, listen, thank you very much for getting up at 6 a.m. your time to do this broadcast. We appreciate that. The title of your new book is When Television Was Young. Tell us what this is all about and what you included in your book.
Well, we've included everything. You know, on the cover, we've got a picture, of course, of my partner and my boss, Johnny Carson, and I.
Yeah.
Or Johnny Carson and me, whichever is the correct way to say that. Desi and Lucy. Howdy Doody. You remember Howdy Doody. Martin and Lewis. I spent a lot of time with Jerry Lewis. 40 years on the telethon. And on the back cover, we have a picture of my pal Dick Clark doing the twist with Chubby Checker.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that'll bring back some memories. And then we've got Groucho Marx with George Fenneman. We've got Edward R. Murrow with Charles Collingwood. Then we got George and Gracie. And this will strike a note, the Lone Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And Ed Sullivan and the girl who was supposed to be the most beautiful girl in the world, Gina Lola Brigida.
Uh-huh.
I know that stirs up a little codgels in your mind right now. And then my favorite, all favorite, the Honeymooners.
Uh-huh.
Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, Jane Meadows, there they are. Audrey Meadows, rather. I'm sorry, I know Jane Meadows, but Audrey Meadows. Anyway, let me give you a line from the book that I think... we'll tell you what it's all about. Live, spontaneous, and in living black and white.
Lives, spontaneous. Yeah, live television had to be a whole lot different than the pre-recorded we have today, right, Ed?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I did my first show, ever show on television. I was in a play. After the World War II, I went to Catholic University in Washington. They have a great drama department. They still have it, but they had a great speech and drama department. And I was accepted at Yale. Yale had a great drama department, but I figured Catholic U in Washington, D.C., I'd been better able to get a job there because I had a wife and baby I had to support, but I wanted to go back to college. I'd been going to college before the war. I was at Boston College for a year and a half. So now I figured television's coming. So on the horizon, everybody's talking about it, you know, sending pictures through the air. And I did my very first show. I was in a play at Catholic U, and they broadcast it from Washington, D.C. through Philadelphia to New York. That was the first use of the coaxial cable, and I was in the play. That was in 1947.
Wow.
Now, I got my first show in 1949. I graduated that spring. I got a job at WCAU Channel 10 in Philadelphia, and I was the host. Now, listen to this. You guys work together, and you know what, everything happens together. I was the host of a three-hour daily live variety show on television from 12 to 3. That was the beginning of daytime television in America. And up until that time, the first show on the air was Howdy Doody at 5:30. Now, I don't think you guys are old enough to remember Howdy Doody.
Oh, I remember Howdy Doody, yep.
You remember the song?
It's Howdy Doody time.
Here we go, let's sing it.
Okay.
It's Howdy,
Howdy
Doody,
Doody
time. It's Howdy
Doody,
Doody time. It's time to laugh and play. The sun's a fun to pay.
Oh, yeah.
It's Howdy Doody time. Hooray.
Yeah. Very good, Ed. Yeah, I remember Howdy Doody. I'm 54.
Well.
So. How old are you now, by the way?
I'm 84.
Are you 84
yep.
now? That's wonderful. David's 81. You're in your 82nd year, but he's 81, right, David?
Yes, that's correct.
So you remember Ed really well.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, I'd like to, what would you say the secret, though, is, you know, you said you started off so early on, and you seem so comfortable. And isn't being comfortable, I mean, I remember sometimes, like, the dog, you'd be feeding the dog Alpo on Johnny's show, on The Tonight Show, right?
Right.
And he wouldn't eat or whatever. See, just went along with it. I mean, nothing seemed to really ruffle your feathers.
Well, that's very complimentary. Thank you. But, you know, there is that great scene where they played this many times on television where the dog is spooked and leaves me. Little dog named Hernandez, little tiny little thing. And I put the Alpo down, and he got spooked and ran off the set. So then I try to lure him back, you know, my pal. I said, come here, little Hernandez. Come here, little Hernandez. Nothing, you know. Wouldn't do a thing. He came in for a minute, then he went out again. Something had bothered him, like a light noise or something. I don't know what the hell it was. Anyway, here he is. You know, he wouldn't come in. Now, bless his heart, Johnny Carson came in, picked up the Alpo fish, and pretended to eat it, wagging his rear end like he was a dog. And I patted his head, and he continued to try to eat the dog food. And then finally I hugged him. He got up and I hugged him. And as I said the copy line, you know, doesn't your dog deserve Alpo? He bit me on the chest.
Oh, the fun of doing live television, right?
Yes.
Now, what do you think of these outrageous salaries today? I mean, David Letterman, $40 million a year. Whew! I thought Johnny was making a lot when he was making $10 million a year, you know?
Well, he was making 30. He was making a lot of money.
At the end, 30, yeah.
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 But, you know, it's all, you know, I remember when gasoline was 11 cents. Well, I got my first car to get a gallon of gasoline cost 11 cents.
Well, where did you go from WCAU in Philadelphia after that? Where did you go?
Well, I went, you know, then I met Johnny. You know, I was trying to break in New York. I was, you know, doing commercials. Philadelphia's close to New York, as you know, 90 miles. So I did a lot of my shows. When I got back, was called back for the Korean War. So I was gone 18 months. When I left, I had 13 television shows. When I came back, I had no television shows.
Wow.
Three people replaced me, and all the shows failed. No disrespect to the guys who replaced me, but it just changed. You know, things changed. I was gone a year and a half. When I came back, they gave me 5 minutes at the end of the news,
yeah,
a little show called 5 Minutes More, and I wrote and produced that. But that allowed me to go to New York every day on the 8 o'clock train, and I pounded the pavements in New York trying to get commercials, different things, and I started landing some commercials. I became the spokesman for Cheer Soap and Red Book and a few other things. And in the midst of all that, I met a skinny little kid from Nebraska named Johnny Carson. And we did a thing called Who Do You Trust? Now, I'm sure you guys remember Who Do You Trust? An afternoon game show on ABC.
Yep, I used to come home from school and watch it.
There you are. Now, you remember how great Johnny was on that?
Yep.
And his whole theme, his whole idea on that show was to, you know, entertain the people and do jokes and be funny and so forth. And what it was, we had an interview, you know, before the so-called quiz. The quiz was like a little part of the show. The main thing was Johnny doing his thing. And the first day I worked with him, I knew where we were headed. Because I had a script in front of me. Nobody could see me on the air at home, but I had to do this script with six sponsors and do their copy line. You know, Swansdown cake mixes, the cake mixes you can trust, right? I've got six of those.
Yeah.
Johnny set fire to my script.
Why? You mean accidentally because he's a smoker?
No, on purpose. Are you kidding me?
Why?
Well, don't you understand?
No.
That's funny.
What?
And the audience in the theater, we're in the little theater on 44th Street on Broadway, and the audience went crazy. Here's a script burning in my hand. I'm reading charcoal, and, you know, he thought that was pretty funny. You know, but I knew from that first day where we were headed. We were going to be buddies. We were going to be pals. I mean, if he took the liberty to do that, knowing how important it was for me, the first day I worked with him, he set fire to the script. That gives you an indication where you're going to go for the next 34 years.
Well, you and I have met and did an interview a few years face-to-face. You're a tall guy. Plus, you're a former Marine. Hoorah! How tall are you, Ed?
Well, you shrink as you get older. You know, you drop down.
Well, that's your peak.
I used to be right under 6'4".
6'4". Look at that. And so Johnny is diminutive in comparison. How tall is Johnny?
He was about 6 feet.
6 foot. So that's a lot of difference because, you know, I know I'm 6'2½", and I have to look up to guys like you that are 6'4 and 6'6", and I don't like it because I'm not used to it.
But, I know. I don't like it either. And I've been shrinking. You know, as you get older, you shrink a little bit. So I haven't measured myself lately, but I must be about 6'3", I would guess.
Yeah, I'm about 6'2" now. But the point is, though, here's this little guy who has this former Marine who's now his co-host, right? And to have the guts to set that, you know, because that's pretty gutsy to set your script on fire. I think that's funny.
How did you handle it from there, then?
Yeah, how did you handle it?
Well, I was reading Charcoal. And he thought that was pretty funny. The audience in the theater thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
He did it every day for 4 years.
How did the sponsors feel? Well, if I was a sponsor, I wouldn't think it was so funny.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, if I got the copy line out, who cared?
Oh, I see.
And that's what I had to do. I mean, that was the pressure I was under, but I had to do it. And I don't know if you ever do that, you and David, but... David, that's an idea if you want to try that tomorrow morning when he's doing a cold read. You know, just set fire to the script and, you know, see how Rhett handles it.
Oh, yeah, he's always picking on me. He's always picking on me. Now, I want to take a break, and then when we come back, a lot to talk about. You know, it's funny. They say that talent is rare, but more rare is talent that can recognize talent. And, Ed, you hosted a show that was very similar to American Idol. Matter of fact, when we did an interview a few years ago, you wanted to revive that show, and they wouldn't do it. And yet here American Idol comes along, and of course we all know the success of that story. So I want to talk about you. Does that bother you, the fact that they wouldn't renew that other show you did? What was the name of it? You Can Be a Star?
Star Search.
Pardon me?
Star Search.
Yeah, and you were doing Star Search. I mean, it was my dream as a kid to be on your show, Star Search. And they canceled Ed, and then they come up with this other thing, see? And I'll tell you what, American Idol almost was turned down in America only because of Rupert Murdoch's daughter, who saw the European show, the English show, and then said, Dad, we need to do it in America. It was the only reason it got thumbs up. Got to take a break. We're talking with the voice himself, Mr. Ed McMahon, Mr. Entertainment, and we'll be right back.
Hey, kids, what time is it?
Well, howdy, Mr. Duty. And boys and girls at home and kids in the gallery, let's go.
You've heard me talk about Dr. Mal and Center for Advanced Eye Care. I want you to also know that he has a licensed optician on board over there. And she's a very nice young lady named Mary, and she also knows her business. Eyeglasses, of course, ladies, you know, are a fashion accessory these days. Prada, Gucci, Fendi, as seen on Oprah, Coach, also as seen on Oprah, and a few others here that I really can't can't enunciate. But I tell you what, Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. William J. Mallon, board-certified ophthalmologist, simply the best guy in town. You also might want to see Mary Penroki, who is the licensed optician there, Center for Advanced Eye Care on US 1. The phone number is 299-1404. 299-1404. Don't forget, eyeglasses are a fashion accessory these days.
And now, Pastor Greg from the First Church of God, Vero Beach.
Hi, our word for today comes from Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. How easy it is to become fixated on how that person insulted us, or the affront that we suffered, or the hurting words that were spoken, or the wound from some incident. It's not that the hurt or the issue isn't real to us, but is it worth breaching the dam? Yeah, breaching the dam. Is it worth the time and the energy that you will spend trying to make your point or win the argument? Quarrels can become a cancer in our own life, and in the end, the one who suffers the most, you got it. It's you. Why not take the high road? Here's a thought to consider. Why not let it go instead of letting it grow? This is Pastor Greg Simsrott from First Church of God inviting you to come out and worship us this weekend, Saturday night at 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 9 o'clock and 10:45. We're located on the corner of 58th Avenue and 12th Street. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
The word of the day is brought to you by the sleep experts at Mattress Market. For the mattress market nearest you, go to mattressmarket.com.
Hi, I'm Amanda, the associate publisher of Vero Life magazine. After being in business for almost 37 years, Vero Life, the magazine of choice, has greater readership, circulation, and distribution than any other magazine in Indian River County. Put more life into your life And remember to pick up your copy of Vero Life magazine.
Vero Life magazine, the magazine of choice in Indian River County.
And welcome back to our broadcast. We have Mr. Ed McMahon, Mr. Showbiz himself, on the line. The title of his new book is When Television Was Young. And we have Mr. David Walsh in the studio as the co-host today. How are you doing, David?
Very good, very good.
Are you enjoying talking to the Ed McMahon?
Absolutely, and we only have to regret that Star Search didn't come back because you could have gone on it, Rhett, and become
Ed,
a superstar.
You could have made me...
been a superstar, Rhett.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
David is right. You could have been a superstar.
I could have been somebody, Ed. So how is it out in California? Where are you living in California these days, Ed?
I live in L.A., you know, Beverly Hills, and, you know, when you talk about Star Search, it was on the air for 12 years, so that's a big success, and it was in syndication, so that, I have no regrets about Star Search, except I thought it could be revived. You know,
you were right.
Tried our best, and we didn't get it back on, but, you know, that's this business. You know what this business is all about. You can have the greatest idea in the world and go try to peddle it to all the networks. Then you go to the cable companies, and, you know, they don't make it. And, you know, what's sad about this business is some of the shows you're enjoying right now, you know, may not be with us in 3 months. And it's just that it's a very tough business.
Oh, yeah.
As you well know.
Yeah.
But I thought, Star Search could be resurrected after 12 years, and when you look at the people who came out of Star Search, you know, it's an incredible list of people.
Name some of those folks that are big names these days.
Well, I mean, you know, some of them are, you know, in the news every second, like Britney Spears.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. Every time you turn around, they're in the news. But look at some of the other people, like Usher, Beyonce, and Martin Lawrence, and Sinbad, and Drew Carey, who's getting a tremendous amount of exposure right now with a hit show, The Power of 10, and now replacing Bob Barker. He's also a Marine, by the way.
And getting married.
Getting married. I didn't know that, but I'm glad he's getting married. And, you know, there's a whole host of them I could name. You know, forever I could talk about these people.
Now, but being a part of Hollywood, you know, you're Hollywood royalty, Ed. I mean, you're like the creme de la creme. I presume you still get invited to a lot of parties, but I'm sure you've settled in, and you probably don't do the party scene like you once did.
I don't do that as much as I used to. You know, I like to be home.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, there's nothing like your home. And so I go to some things, but not a lot. But, you know, it's one of those things. I work. I'm busy. I've got a radio show every week, and you know, I'm busy. I took a little closet off my office and made it into my radio studio. Now, the only thing I did, I didn't do it. My wife did it. She put a big window looking out on the outside world, so I don't feel I'm in a closet.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm concerned, I'm in my little radio studio, but I do that every week. And I do commercials. I do a lot of things. And I travel a lot. I've got a show that I'm taking around the country called Memories of the Tonight Show. So I'm out, you know, doing things, and that's my secret for keeping things going. You never stop.
Well, you know, you know, David and I have a little corporation, and we bring in talent sometimes. So maybe off the air, David, maybe we should broach the subject with Ed about maybe you coming to Florida here and putting on your show.
We might do that.
If you're interested in doing that this season, let's talk about that. You've seen a lot of people come and go. You've been a privileged individual. You know, we don't have royalty like they have in England, so the royalty we have has been Hollywood. Of course, a lot of the Hollywood royalty these days has been letting us down, shamelessly immoral. But you have kept, you know, you're a Marine. You have that discipline. Who are some of the people you've met that you just look back with fond, great memories? I mean, you've met past presidents and kings and queens, et cetera, Ed?
Well, I've got a picture I'm looking at right now, me shaking hands with the queen. And in the background is, you know, Nancy Reagan. And there's the prince right beside it. Well, that's a, you know, favorite picture of mine. I'm just glancing up at it right now. But I met the queen, and that's quite a moment. But I've met, you know, a lot of people that are just, you know, doing their job right. I like anybody who gets up and gets the job done. And I've got a lot of pictures around here of people that I love. There's a picture of my friend, Mr. Sinatra, over there. And I've over on my right, I know David will get excited. David, are you sitting down?
I hope so, yes.
All right, because I don't know, you know, I can't see you in the studio. I want to be sure that you're sitting down. Right over my shoulder is a picture of me with Marilyn Monroe. David, don't get too nervous. Don't fall off the chair, all right?
Okay, we got to take a break for the news, and we're going to come back and talk more about your book, When Television Was Young. He is the Ed McMahon, from Howdy Doody to Edward Murrow, the Long Ranger, Ed Sullivan. He's got the Honeymooners, Jackie Gleason. Ed knew all these people personally. And to what does he attribute his longevity? It seems like people that have levity, I know the scriptures in the book of Proverbs, it says a merry heart maketh good like medicine. And Ed is a young 84-year-old, obviously. Even Dr. Norm Vincent Peale, who was imbued with faith, lived to be 95. To what does Ed attribute his longevity? I know one thing, you didn't smoke like Johnny did, or at least you gave it up, right, Ed?
I never smoked.
Never smoked, okay. So,
never smoked.
And Johnny knew that he could live a long life if he'd only give it up, but he wouldn't give it up. We'll talk about that. A lot to discuss with Ed McMahon, When Television Was Young. Today's broadcast brought to you by US1, Nissan Hyundai, and Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care. I'm Rhett Palmer. We'll be back.
Advanced Urology Associates of Florida is known as a center for excellence. You'll find convenient Treasure and Space Coast offices to serve you. Drs. Crawford and Seeger, along with Valerie Ward, ARNP, specialize in state-of-the-art services, including laser and cryosurgery, a unique freezing technique used for the treatment of cancers, like prostate and kidney cancer, as well as the treatment of male and female incontinence, bladder control, and impotence. So whether you need a checkup or a valued second opinion, choose Advanced Urology Associates of Florida, with offices in Vero Beach, Sebastian, Fort Pierce, and Port St. Lucie. Call 562-7220, 562-7220 for Advanced Urology Associates of Florida.
I'm Rhett Palmer. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Here's Ed. Mr. Ed McMahon is on the line in the studio. Of course, we have Mr. David Walsh. And, of course, everybody in the sound of my voice, even I stuck my head into the other room this morning prior to doing the interview with Ed. And I said, now, how many of you young people know Ed McMahon? And I got to tell you, Ed, they all said, you mean the Ed McMahon? So, you know, I've run into some other Hollywood stars who are over the 80 market, and some of the people don't know the name, but everybody knows your name, Ed.
Nobody is more starstruck about Ed McMahon than you.
Well, I have
tell to, about what how you felt when you were growing.
Well, when I first met Ed McMahon a few years ago, we did an interview in town here, face to face, and I got to say I was fawning all over him because. From the age of 13 till about 29, every couple of months I would have a dream that I was seated between Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson, and I was on The Tonight Show. So when Ed came, I knew this was the closest thing, and I was just like in rapture. And I think you're great. I think you're the all-American dad or grandfather, and you're well-loved, Ed.
Okay, let him talk about his book.
All right, let's talk about it. His new book is called When Television Was Young. It is hot off the presses. You're going to love this read, ladies and gentlemen. When Television Was Young, I presume it's available in bookstores everywhere, Ed McMahon?
Oh, yeah, Amazon, everywhere. But let me read a couple of bullet points, will you? Because this will give your audience an idea of the flavor of this book. I just want to read some bullet points we have on the back cover. Here is one. Legendary movie producer Daryl Zanuck declared, quote, people will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night. All right?
Yeah.
Now listen to this one. This is really something. I've alluded to it before, but before 5:30, there were only test patterns. Howdy Doody was the first show of the day. Okay?
Yeah, I remember that.
We did our song, and you did the song very good, by the way. Anyway, here's another one. CBS agreed to put I Love Lucy on film only if Desi and Lucy paid part of the production fee. In return, CBS gave them ownership of the shows, including the rights to rerun it forever.
What a smart move that was.
Right now, if somewhere you can tune in, and there's Desi and Lucy, right? Listen to this one. Kugler, Fran, and Ollie was the first network show broadcast in color. All right?
Uh-huh.
50,000 fans showed up in a New Orleans department store to meet Hopalong Cassidy. 50,000.
50,000.
Way back when Hopalong Cassidy was hot, and they sold millions and millions and millions of dollars of merchandise. You know, that was the industry was so incredible that surrounded some of these stars selling little gadgets, things, you know, little holsters and all kinds of things. Everybody wanted to be Hopalong Cassidy. Here's a last one right here. Movie studios would not let motion picture stars appear on television for fear that if people saw the stars on TV, they wouldn't go to the movies. What? Now, you notice what happens now. Everybody that has a movie can't wait to get on one of the talk shows and plug the movie.
Well, look, Ed, you're right. I mean, talent that can recognize talent is so rare. Charles H. Duell, commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in 1899, said, "Everything that can be invented has been invented."
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know,
that's right.
it is amazing that I wonder how, though, how did you manage to get through to, you know, I know you said you were doing TV and then you went away to be a Marine. And thank you for serving these United States, by the way, Ed.
Thank you.
And then you came back, and yet others that were attempting to replace you were failing in most of the locales. And so you came back. I wonder what is that difference that you have that others don't have?
Oh, boy, what a question. I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I just plug along. I do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know. I think the secret to longevity, you alluded to that a couple of times, I think is to get up and do your job, do your work. And I've worked for people over the years who retire, and that's the end of them. You know, nothing else happens to them. You can only play golf so much, and
yeah.
If that's your focus, if that's what you're thinking about, that's okay. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you know, if that's your hobby. But my hobby is my work. I yeah. just love to work.
Most people fail retirement, right? Okay, let's talk about Edward Murrow. Well, I mean, there's a guy who had phenomenal delivery. Did you ever get to meet Edward Murrow?
I never met him, unfortunately.
Okay.
But he was, you know, as you said, that voice. And, you know, everybody remembered him from, you know, the early days, you know, broadcasting from London and so forth. And, you know, it just became, he became like a fixture. And one of the first, I think one of the first newsmen to really capture the American psyche. You know, they just, he was early in that regard, you know, before Walter Cronkite or before somebody that really captured the nation. And, you know, he was, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And, a great, great, you know, element in our business.
How about Jackie Gleason to take another person out of the passing parade?
All right, well, let me give you Jackie Gleason in a nutshell, okay? I used to go to lunch every day in a place called Toots Shores. I don't know whether you ever in your experience had that pleasure having lunch at Toots Shores.
Uh-huh.
Now, Toots Shores was about a block from 30 Rock. There was a shortcut that you could get through, and I could have lunch at Toots Shores and walk to 30 Rock, where we did the Tonight Show. So if I had to go and feed the little Alpo puppy, I could have lunch at Toots Shores and then go over and feed the little Alpo puppy, right? So anyway, I'm in Toots Shores one day, and it was a hangout for Jackie Gleason. He and Toots Shores were the dearest of friends. So I'm leaving, and there's Jackie Gleason, and there's two, happens to be two young ladies with him. I don't know how that happened, but that can happen. He was standing at the bar talking to yours, and so he said, Ed, how you doing? I said, fine, Jackie, how are you? He said, come over here, meet these ladies. I said, come over, I met the two ladies. And he said, what are you doing? Where are you going? I said, well, I got to go over and just rehearse a commercial that we're going to do tonight. He said, well, can we come over and watch that? I said, sure. So come on over. So here we are. Now, here's a scene, right? We're cutting through the little shortcut to get over to where I have to go with 30 Rock up to the sixth floor, right? So anyway, we're walking across the street, Jackie Gleason. This is a big moment for me. I'm a big, big fan of Jackie Gleason. And we're walking over. We've got these two young ladies are walking with us. And we go over, get on the elevator. We go up and we go in the studio. And here's the little Alpo puppy. In the afternoon, we didn't feed them too much. We wanted them a little hungry at night. But at least we put a little Alpo in the dish so that they know where the dish was. Hmm. Anyway, I do the rehearsal. Now, Jackie Gleason with the two young ladies are watching me do this rehearsal. The dog comes in. He eats the food. I tell them how great Alpo is. It's real meat and so forth and so on. And I finish my great moment in the sun right here is Jackie Gleason watching me do a commercial, right? So at the end of it, he says, Ed, that was terrific. I said, well, thank you, Jackie. He said, okay, girls, let's go. He walked out of the studio. That was my experience with Jackie Gleason, right? But if I'm going around, I don't know how much time we have, but if I'm going around the dial and I see the Honeymooners, I'm stopped dead in my tracks. I got to watch it. I know how you feel about it.
Oh, yeah.
That is classic television in my mind. And, you know, just to wait to see him do one of those to the moon, Alice, or, you know. And then the closing. Always at the closing, everything was perfect.
Yeah.
He and his wife were happy, madly in love. And, you know, Alice, you're the greatest. And I loved him.
One of these days, Alice!
One of these days.
You know, I noticed that about you, though, Ed, is one thing that's contagious about you. And I was listening to you, I realized you never say anything negative. I've had some people come on the show and they might say some negative about this star, this celebrity. You never go there in your mind, your heart, or your mouth. Is that do you practice that so you stay on the positive side of life, you know?
No, I just told you, I wake up and I'm, you know, ready to go to work. And I just feel, have that discipline. You know, when you go through boot camp in the Marine Corps, you learn a lot about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they tell you to do something, you do it. And I think that that gives you a lot of respect for people. You've been through it. You know, you go through boot camp, and people ask me, do I watch reality shows? I said, I don't have to. I went through boot camp in the Marine Corps. That's about as much reality as I can handle in my lifetime. But anyway, you have great respect. You know, we're in the military. There's always someone that's more important than you are, or at least, you know, that's the setup. And you just have respect for everybody. And I don't know, you know, it's very complimentary to say that, but that's just part of me. I can't help that.
How about Frank Sinatra?
You had... Oh. Now
more than one story about him, I imagine.
Well, you know, he is, in my mind, you know, I'm looking at him right now. I've got my radio room. I've got his picture all over the place to remind me to be excellent. And he on stage, I don't think there would be anything better than him working a club, working a scene. And I did a lot of charity things with him, traveled with him. I went to Israel with him on a junket. And we became great friends. And I'll tell you what he did for me once, and I think the audience will love this because it gives you an idea of his attention to detail. I was down visiting him. I can drop, you know, this town on your Palm Springs. And I was visiting him, staying for the weekend. We were guests down there. Anyway, in the afternoon, I'm kind of hanging around by the piano and so forth, and he arrived, he comes in, you know, he's been in his quarters, and very few people got into his quarters. You know, he had a little section of the compound down in Palm Springs, and you didn't see him. You might have seen him all night, but you didn't see him in the morning. You know, you partied all night, and then he, you know, did whatever he had to do to get ready for the next day. Anyway, this was very rare that he called me into his quarters. I went into his quarters, and he said, can you catch? And I said, yeah. So he threw me a key ring. And what it was the W.C. Fields key to his cottage at Universal Pictures. That was before it was Universal Studios. And here I have this key, Cottage 6, and the other side, W.C. Fields. Well, if you know me at all, as you do, Rhett,
oh, yeah.
I'm a big W.C. Fields.
Oh, yeah.
And imagine that he had attention to detail. He knew I would love that, but that's the kind of guy Mr. Sinatra was.
How do you like my children? Properly cooked, thank you. Yes, yes. Went to Philadelphia once, and it was closed.
That's right.
Love that.
It was a woman that drove me to drink, and I never had the decency to write and thank her.
I like the Winston Churchill. That reminds me of a Winston Churchill quote, where this lady came up to him and said, Sir Winston, you are inebriated. And he said, Madame, you are an ugly, but in the morning I shall be sober.
That's right. That was Lady Astor. Lady Astor, he said that too.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We are talking with the Ed McMahon himself. The title of his new book, hot off the presses. You want to get a copy? You are going to love this, folks. It's called When Television Was Young. When we come back, I want to talk about fame. What is it like to be the number one famous guy? His face was seen in so many commercials, even more than Johnny Carson. Most famous guy in Hollywood, on television, nationally. What's it like? Are you always constantly bothered in restaurants? Can you have any peace of mind? I also want to talk about Jerry Lewis. I want to talk about Ed Six Sullivan. We're going to have fun. By the way, if you're having a hard time hearing this broadcast, that's right. People who have a hard time hearing, 80% will ignore it. Call Audible. I want to tell you about Kim and her husband, Bill Smith, who is board certified. They have 5 locations locally. They will take good care of you. Studies show that those who get a hearing aid, and it can be not even seen, it's hidden now in the ear canal, have a much happier lifestyle. I want you to call Audible now. Talk to Kim. Bill's wife. By the way, she's been wearing a hearing aid since she was 15 years of age. Here's the number, 772 area code, 569-0444. Audible, 569-0444. Also, don't forget, if you're feeling a little under the weather, Indian River Walk-In Clinic, Miracle Mile Plaza, the right care right now. There's a doctor waiting to see you at Indian River Walk-In Clinic, Miracle Mile Plaza. Hey, we'll be right back with Mr. Ed McMahon.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray.
Dr. Charles N. Solano, internal medicine and cardiology. Dr. Solano, is it true heart disease is the number one killer and now affects just as many women as men?
Yes, in fact, it remains the number one threat in terms of men and women. In the past, we've thought that women were somewhat protected, but heart disease remains a major threat to them as well. As women have entered the workforce, obviously they're susceptible to the same stresses that men have had in the past. More women participate in smoking, more women participate in the dietary indiscretions that we all have, and I think it's more lifestyle. We are pushing now the American College of Cardiology to diagnose and treat women's symptoms as specifically and as diligently as we have in the past with men.
Dr. Charles N. Solano, just west of Indian River Memorial Hospital on 15th Avenue in Vero Beach. Hours by appointment. Call 562-8522. 562-8522.
I want to thank Mattress Market. Every day you hear Greg, Pastor Greg, from First Church of God on our show with the word of the day. It's brought to you by Mattress Market. Go to mattressmarket.com. They have stores up and down the space in Treasure Coast. You'll save with the sleep experts at Mattress Market. You've heard me talk about Dr. Mal and Center for Advanced Eye Care. I want you to also know that he has a licensed optician on board over there, and she's a very nice young lady named Mary, and she also knows her business. Eyeglasses, of course, ladies, you know, are a fashion accessory these days. Prada, Gucci, Fendi, as seen on Oprah, Coach, also as seen on Oprah, and a few others here that I really can't enunciate. But I tell you what, Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. William J. Mallon, board-certified ophthalmologist, simply the best guy in town. You also might want to see Mary Penroki, who is the licensed optician there, Center for Advanced Eye Care on US 1. The phone number is 299-1404, 299-1404. Don't forget, eyeglasses are a fashion accessory these days.
Hey, kids, what time is it?
Well, howdy, Mr. Duty, and boys and girls at home and kids in the gallery, let's go!
Howdy, Duty time, it's howdy, Duty time.
Ah, yes, when television was young, I remember the...
I got a boost for you, ready?
Yes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here, Elizabeth.
That's for you, Mom. Ed saying hi to you, Ma. What do you think of that, huh? I love you, Mom. My mom was all excited the fact that you were going to be on the show again with me today. And the title of Ed's new book, it's hot off the presses, Ed McMahon, of course, Mr. Hollywood, Mr. Television himself, When Television Was Young. You're going to love it. It's a fun read. It's a great book. Lots of photographs in it, too, right, Ed?
Oh, yeah. We start everything else. You guys might be old enough, you know, maybe sitting on your mother's knee or sitting near your dad or something. We start out, the first picture in the book is a test pattern. People used to look at the test pattern and hope that something would come up,
yes,
and it squealed. It was a squeal.
Yeah.
And people used to look at the test pattern. Nothing ever came up.
I remember.
Just looked at the test pattern. So the first picture in the book is the test pattern. And then there's pictures with everybody. You know, everybody that's involved in the early days of television, there's a picture in there. You know, I mentioned some of the pictures on the back. Well, there are other pictures like that all through the book.
Now, I want to ask you about it. You've been right up and close to the most famous, the royalty of America, which is Hollywood and television. I'm not so sure that's a good thing these days. But anyway, about fame, can fame really be a pain? Do you like it? Or does it get in the way? I mean, do you get any peace? Can you walk possibly into any restaurant and sit there with your bride and have a peaceful entree, you know?
Oh, sure. Sure. And it doesn't bother me. I mean, I like being a celebrity. It doesn't bother me at all. And I get on airplanes and talk to everybody on the airplane, and it doesn't bother me. I just float through. I'm a Pisces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know about the fish. Fish don't bump into each other.
That's a good analogy, I suppose. Fish don't ever thought about that.
I came here. I didn't want to cause any trouble. I just want to do my work and let that go at that.
I do want to ask you about your faith. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You know, you're 84 years young. You have, obviously, a buoyancy that is rare. You're still in great good health, and you obviously still carry your sense of humor. You know, where's your faith at?
Where is my what? I'm missing
faith,
that.
Faith. Like, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe in a hereafter? Do you believe in God?
Oh, sure.
Why?
Absolutely.
Why? Because you're supposed to, or why?
No, because I believe it, that's all. I mean, you make up your mind and you believe it. In other words, you say, this is it, and I certainly do believe it. I mean, you know, that's a part of my life.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some guys. You've done some good with a fellow named Jerry Lewis doing that marathon for how many years?
I just finished my 40th year.
40?
And I've never missed a telethon.
Never missed a telethon.
And I'll give you a number. Make sure David's sitting down, okay? I'm worried about David. We have raised on that telethon $2 billion.
Wow, $2 billion.
Now, can imagine if he didn't do that telethon, where would that money come from? You know, the government couldn't give you that money. So
the government takes it. The government doesn't give.
But anyway, that's the situation. And all of that money goes into research or into AIDS. You know, we have AIDS for these people that are afflicted by these terrible diseases. There's 40 diseases in that category of muscular dystrophy. And, you know, I'm very much involved in that organization. Now, I'm on the board. I'm one of the board members. I was a vice president, but they moved me up to a board member. And I go to all the board meetings, and I'm very much involved. But, you know, this money is spent. There's 250 clinics. There's, you know, all kinds of hospital connections, like 400 around the world. You know, it's a lot of money, but it's all being used. So I'm very happy with my involvement with him. And Jerry Lewis and I become great friends over this time.
Oh, yeah, you've done a great job, and we applaud you for that. Now, we'd be remiss, of course, in these last few minutes that we have together to talk about one of the best friends you ever had in your life, Mr. Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still think of him as the boss. And I still want to only do things that he would approve of.
Really?
Yeah. In other words, why not? I mean, I was with the man for 34 years. I'll tell you what I did one night. I had figured out that it, based on my age and based on his age, and I was a couple of years older than he was, but anyway, I figured it out that I had spent half my life with him. So I hit him with that one night when it occurred, and, you know, I threw him for a loop. For a minute there, I said, I just realized something this afternoon. I've spent half my life with you. And he looked at me. You know, that those looks, you know, yeah. Those looks were so priceless.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looked at me. He said, what? I said, I've spent half my life with you. And it was true, you know.
Yeah.
So, because we had spent so much time. I forget exactly what year that was, but whenever it worked out, I had spent half my life with him. So, you know, he's still the boss as far as I'm concerned.
What would – tell me, just because you can learn from the positive – what would he – you said you to, even to today, you won't do something that he wouldn't approve of. What would Johnny Carson not approve of, and what would he approve of?
Well, you know, in other words, what I'm talking about is, you know, what I do with myself, what I address myself to in a given day. I still feel the presence of him, you know – kind of looking over my shoulder, kind of, you know, just saying, you know, that's a good job. You know, it's like I want to do things well, mm-hmm. and why not please him? I mean, that's easy for me.
Was he as nice off the air as he was on the air, truly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a great friendship, and, you know, we kidded around with each other. We had fun together. If we'd met in the Marine Corps, we'd have been buddies.
Yeah,
I mean, it just happened that way.
Well, you were buddies. Listen, the title of the book, ladies and gentlemen, Ed McMahon's new book, hot off the presses, is When Television Was Young. It's always a delight to spend time with you, Ed McMahon. We love you.
Thank you, Rhett. That's very nice. And David, nice chatting with you too, pal.
Well, I'm glad that you're concerned about my welfare, but, you know, I look up to my elders, and I appreciate that concern.
You know, I have to worry about you. You know, I mentioned Marilyn Monroe. I thought you were going to fall right off the chair.
Well, he did, but we didn't want to tell the audience.
Oh, I heard a bump, and I thought that's what it was.
Ed McMahon, just know you're loved. We're with you, and thank you very much. You're always great to talk to.
All right, guys. Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was a good hour. Okay.
When Television Was Young, pick up your copy now, hot off the presses. When Television Was Young by Ed McMahon. It's a fun, great read. It's Ed McMahon. I'm Rhett Palmer. Who loves you, baby? Someone somewhere needs your random act of kindness, as it is written. Give unto others. Your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. David Walsh, thanks for coming in the studio and being with us today.
Always a pleasure.